Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Carolina Connections, the radio show where business leaders connect.
Hello, and welcome back to Carolina Connections and our special edition of Wireless Connections with the Wireless Research Center of North Carolina. Welcome to Jerry Hayes. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, good morning, Ann.
It's great to have you back in the studio.
Thank you.
And Larry Stefan. Hi, Larry.
Good morning, Ann.
I'm so glad you guys are here because we're going to have a really interesting conversation this morning. Anybody out there who knows anything about this little tiny company called Verizon, I bet the first thing you thought of when I said that was your mobile device, your mobile phone, right? We're going to talk about the other Verizon today. We got three experts in the studio to talk to us from the enterprise data team. We have Mark Scherlein. Hello, Mark.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm dandy. We have Mark Boggs.
Good morning.
And we have Todd Young.
Good morning.
It's great to have you guys here. Thanks for coming in to share some of your expertise with us.
Thanks so much for having us.
We keep hearing more and more about the Internet of Things. We keep hearing about connected devices. And we need to understand a little bit more about what's going on in the background. So let's start here. Todd, can you tell us a little bit about your Verizon? Can you tell us about what's different about the enterprise data team than maybe my Verizon store down the street?
Sure. When people think about Verizon, they think cell phones, consumer cell phones. But our team works specifically with customers to have solutions in the market that improve their productivity, their efficiency.
So business people primarily.
Business people primarily. And I'd like to tell the story that, you know, once upon a time in the communications world, as it's evolved, we started with two phones, and eventually every city had a phone, every home had a phone, eventually every hand had a phone with cell phones. But today we're evolving and everything will have a phone. And so what does that mean? And I tell customers today that City of Raleigh actually has garbage cans in place on the city streets. And the garbage cans, when they fill up, they call themselves back in. And this makes a huge impact to their business in the fact that they spend a lot of money on trucks, labor, fuel. Probably those people carry cell phones themselves. So having to only pick up garbage cans that need to save them a lot of money. So today that's really where we're at as far as advising customers on how they can affect their business through these connections, through the Internet of Things.
Yeah. So Raleigh has green garbage trucks?
Garbage cans, and it's part of their green initiative. It not only makes them very efficient at what they do, reduces their carbon footprint, but saves them a lot of money. And ultimately, that's what every business wants to do, is just be more productive, efficient, and get those benefits like green benefits.
And not only that, it's good for their image as a city. You know, that's important for any customer, right?
Mark Boggs, you're kind of the boss here. How does Verizon like to position itself in this world of enterprise data?
Well, I think Todd did a good job of describing the evolution of this technology, and part of our job is to understand all the many moving parts. And things are evolving very rapidly. It's very important to understand the moving pieces, because what's here today could be drastically different tomorrow. So part of our job, our team, is to see the entire field, to understand the many moving parts, and then to help customers understand which parts of that fit into their business and will impact their business in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. So it was interesting because Todd actually said, your phone talks to things now. So it's your phone talks to things. Things talk to each other. And there's a big network that actually is driving all of this. How could we define this whole big picture of what the back end of Verizon is doing?
You know, that's a term that we use internally, and we have also started using with customers. We describe kind of an ecostructure as the DNA, and that starts with a device, a network, and usually there's some kind of application server in the back end,
some software
that makes it all work.
Mm-hmm.
So think about an iPod versus your iPhone. It's the same piece of equipment. One's got a chip in it that connects it to a cell network. One doesn't. How many people are excited about the latest new iPod that's coming out versus how many people talk about, the latest thing from Apple being the new phone? So it's that connection that really turns that product into something that every consumer wants.
And every business wants. So it's not just about the consumer connection, but businesses want things to be connected as well.
That's a great point. Right. So if you talk about some of the solutions that we've seen businesses choose in the past, they've gone in being very technically proficient about what their business is. Mm-hmm. They may know high-tech ways of, you know, welding or purifying water or, right. or something where they're an absolute, you know, specialist, and not really thought out of the box as to how they could more efficiently control that welder, how they could efficiently make changes to that water purifier without sending a technician and paying for a phone or a plane trip and
sure.
Overnight stay if it happens to be far away.
Or even less than, even something more immediate than that. We had on the show yesterday a chromatography company, a brand new company called Practicam, and he said to me afterwards that they're looking at ways to take some of their RFID notifications and connect that to yet another level of connectivity vis-a-vis, you know, the internet, if you will.
Exactly correct. So if you look at an RFID tag by itself, it doesn't have a lot of smarts.
Not really.
But the connection back to the server that helps coordinate where that tag is and when it was scanned, that's what makes an RFID tag into a full solution.
And right. And I think all businesses today are trying to save money. They're trying to be more efficient and productive. And many times we laugh when we're a part of companies and they say, hey, let's reduce the office supply budget and stop using so many pencils. But in effect, if you looked at the biggest expenses on your balance sheet, fuel, labor, commodities, you know, steel and things like that, and you could reduce those expenses even by 1%, I mean, you would probably pay for the whole office supply budget on its own.
And I could get another pencil.
That's right. And so, yeah, we work every day just to affect 1% to 2% of some of those more expensive line items in the business. So,
and I think Mark hit on a great point when he used the word smart. We're all familiar with the term smartphone.
Right.
We now have smart TVs.
Mm-hmm.
The power grid is becoming smart. And I think what determines is something smart or not is the way the DNA are put together and applied so that it becomes relevant and it adds a level of intelligence and interaction that was not there before. And I think that's the definition of smart. We're moving into an age where smart will no longer be a label required on things. As we get everything connected, as we get everything working together, we'll just drop the smart and it'll be what it is.
You know, one of the things that at the Wireless Center that we're kind of mapping the wireless genome, if you will, on the DNA structure going from an on-body network, you know, pacemakers all the way up through your Fitbits out to a wide area network, your red boxes, parking meters. It's all about the connectivity, right? And the level of smartness or the level of importance, you know, it's that connectivity that makes the utility improve, right?
Exactly. You start out with a personal area network. You talk about your Fitbit that connects to your phone, and then your phone's going to use a cellular network to connect to some application server, and that application server is going to give you the dashboard and tell you if you've done your steps or not the steps. So the Fitbit itself isn't very smart. It's the application server in the back end that the Fitbit's sending the data to where all the smarts really resides.
Right. At the end of the day, it's the quality of service and the quality of life, right, that improves for everything.
Right.
So what is it that businesses and consumers want from connectivity?
Largely, it's information. It's to know things proactively instead of taking a guess. Todd mentioned the example of a trash can. If that trash can can call me and tell me that it's full, then I'm much smarter about the way I run my business and the resources that I am required to have to support that business. If I'm taking a shot in the dark, or I'm running routes simply because I don't know, then that's not an efficient way to do it. That's not proactive information. It's not a two-way information flow between my assets that, as Todd mentioned, take up a vast majority of my budget. There's no two-way interaction there. So that's what folks are looking at. It's information. Knowledge is power, and it's incredibly lightweight. So that's what everyone is trying to gain more of.
And in our perspective, what businesses want is money. So all of the things that we want to bring to market or be able to show businesses need to show a positive return on investment.
Sure.
Usually that's going to be in dollars. Uh-huh. Sometimes it could be image. By having a connected trash can, the city of Raleigh looks like an industry leader in technology.
Sure.
Other cities are going to want to emulate what they're doing. So that's great for the city's image. But generally, we want to bring in a solution that somehow is going to improve a company's product and help that company sell more of the product one way or the other.
And also customer service. So they want to serve their customers better. You think about vending machines today. If I'm a vending machine company, I can tell if the refrigeration is out in the vending machine, if the stock is out, if the cash box needs to be filled. Though all those types of data can be communicated across in a moment's notice, and we can react to that quicker.
And on a hot day, the Coke might cost an extra quarter because you've got the ability. Quite frankly, that's not hypothetical. On a hot day, you can go to certain vending machines that are connected, and that Coke's going to be $1.50 instead of $1.25.
Yeah, so when it's 32 degrees, is it going to be 25 cents?
Practically.
That's
giving
what
them
I
away.
Want.
Sure, right, exactly.
I think the other thing we're seeing is businesses want to maximize the knowledge of every person in their organization. So we're entering in an age where a lot of our the people in a business are beginning to get closer to retirement. We've got newer folks coming up, mm-hmm. and there's a huge need to transition knowledge and skill from
right.
one generation to another. And technology can help do that. If I have an employee who is reaching the end of their career retirement-wise, but yet they have this vast knowledge, how do I scale them so that they can support all aspects of my business? Technology, having a worker in the field who's connected with a device like an iPad or a camera phone, suddenly allows the person who has all the who has all that knowledge to be able to reach out and share that knowledge with a large number of people, as opposed to having to be in a vehicle and driving around from place to place. So they're leveraging the resources that they already have and passing that knowledge throughout the organization.
Interesting. So how about this attention span problem we're causing with all this connectivity? People don't have to really think too much anymore, and so they don't bother, right? All right, we have an attention span concern, or do we?
Well, you know, it depends on your perspective. If you are the vendor mm-hmm. and you've made a product that appeals to someone with a short attention span, then that's your niche. On the other hand, you may be, you know, from a societal perspective, I think that started with, you know, you can look back at MTV when we went from a 30-minute program to a 3-minute program. Attention spans have been shortening for quite a while. Are we in the cellular industry cause or effect? You know, it's hard to say whether we're following
enabling.
The trend.
It's enabling.
We're following the trend.
Okay. Now you're leading, but that's okay. We like that you're leading. Tell us a little bit about the technology behind all of this. We have a lot of people listening that are technologists first. There may be software engineers, a lot of software engineers probably listening. We have a lot of business analysts listening. What's going on the back end of this, and what's the Verizon's role in that?
So Verizon really, we work with, we have an innovation center in Massachusetts where we help promote the products.
Could you describe the innovation center a little?
Sure. So the Innovation Center is a carrier-agnostic environment where we have testing labs. We have resources available even from a funding perspective all the way through certification and testing, project management and advisory on bringing products to market. We will bring those products through our sales channel to help promote them.
And the ultimate goal is really?
Is I think many times this Internet of Things is just so unfamiliar. We felt that if we didn't help promote it or we didn't help start it, we wouldn't gain as much traction as we wanted to see. So it's really helping small businesses and ideas to bring those to market. And so, the strangest things today can have the biggest impact. So they have connected toothbrushes, they have connected garbage cans, and those are seemingly strange ideas that mm-hmm. save companies a lot of money. So we want to do everything we can to help promote those sorts of ideas and bring them to market. And so we'll help with the certification, testing, promoting of those devices.
So what's in it for Verizon really is we want connections. But to get those connections, we'll help people that have ideas create a device. Mm-hmm. We'll make sure that that device can reach the application server. Mm-hmm. And then we'll help folks that have that idea, that have created the device, actually bring that together to be an actual business So we work with agencies to really kind of manage the entire solution, since we've got the overarching view and they've got often a narrow focus of what their product does.
Yeah.
We can kind of expand that to what their product could do with that additional connectivity, selfishly, because that's what we sell is the connectivity.
As far as we're as far as you guys are concerned, where are we in the timeline of things? I recently went to a presentation where the perception or the data point that they gathered was that this is still very, very early, and that the growth that we're going to see and the level of connectivity and information gathering is going to explode. So are we, is that your perception as well, that this is very early stage and the opportunity has not been lost, and this is, there's many opportunities for those who are sitting and listening to the show right now, that this should be applied to your business, your technology, and your opportunity?
That's a great question. We are still early, but if you think of something that's doubling almost daily, it doesn't take long before it is pervasive. And I think it is still absolutely early enough for folks to get involved, but the notion that this is some distant concept that's way off in the future is simply no longer true. If you would have said 3 years ago, we'll have a connected trash can sitting downtown calling in, people would have scoffed. Now it's a mainstream product. So I think there is plenty of time to still take advantage. It's not too late. But the notion that this thing is moving at anything less than light speed, you need to rethink that.
And a lot of that's being driven because these devices are commoditized and, more importantly, standardized. And that drives growth dramatically.
You've absolutely hit on a great point. Todd was talking earlier, this, in a word, ecosystem, this concept that now we have solid network technologies, regardless of the flavor of that technology, is near ubiquitous. All these ecosystems are building on top of that. So the applications are there, the devices are there, the price points are getting right. So it really is getting to a point where the momentum is self-sustaining, and it's beginning to snowball as we move through.
Yeah, we at the Wireless Center are constantly seeing new devices, some of which we would love to share with you because they're the next generation of consumer goods and next generation of commercial goods that we're going to see. But since they're all early development projects, we can't share with you exactly the details of that. But would you guys like to share with us maybe a project or two that is now public and that when you saw it coming, you said, wow, this is going to be a game changer?
Sure. So one of the things that has come recently is a project with a canine, public safety canine dogs, and they have implantable sensors that detect body core temperatures of the animals. And the statistic is that a canine is worth about $180,000 over its lifetime. And if an animal dies in working service, they usually die of heat-related causes. So just being able to alert people that, hey, the animal is chasing somebody or it's running in an environment that it's getting too hot, and it advises, you know, the handlers, the veterinarians, people responsible for it, you can virtually eliminate the unnecessary death of animals and also save a ton of money for your operations. And there's such a value to having, if you're doing search and rescue dogs, to have a very well-seasoned, trained animal in charge rather than a junior animal. So those are, that would be an example of one of the newer technologies.
Can you talk about the DNA of that?
And yeah, so the DNA of that is a medical device company has an implantable sensor that has a Bluetooth that communicates out to a cell phone on the outside of the animal. And so the animal wears a vest, the cell phone resides in the vest, and the cell phone itself actually communicates the data out.
Is it literally a cell phone?
I think it is literally a cell phone.
It is, in fact, literally a cell phone, and the cell phone actually has other sensors. So that animal may have a vest that has bomb sensors or chemical sensors. There also has the GPS capability that's built into the cell phone, so you know where the animal is. And that's actually used as evidence. So they look at the training over and over and see that the dog has effectively found its target each time during training. And then when they're in court, they bring the training and they also show the actual GPS of the dog's trail when he found the evidence in question and show that this wasn't just a random find. This is an experienced dog, and the dog used its experience to detect whatever it was he was supposed to find.
I'm kind of getting the feeling that anything we have a question about, we're going to be able to solve that through the Internet of Things.
The enterprise data team really focuses on, answering those questions. So that's what we do every day in and day out.
That's fascinating. What a fun job you guys have.
Oh, you got that. It's the best job in the company.
Absolutely. I can tell there's just a little bit of enthusiasm here, in case you guys haven't felt that out there yet.
Yeah, the applications are limitless, right? It's pretty wide open, and the technology is mature enough that you can find solutions very quickly.
Larry, you mentioned a project. One of the things we had the benefit of working on early on was heart monitors inside ambulances. So someone has a heart attack, they call the ambulance shows up. Well, we were able to wirelessly enable that ambulance, so they're sending that EKG data directly from the machine back to the ER. When the patient arrives, they go directly to a room that's already been set up for them. And the national statistics, there's a statistic from the time that that patient walks through the back door until that whatever treatment is applied to them to help with their heart attack. And that was cut by 2/3. So now Wow. You're talking a real-life situation where, put it in human terms, I'm having a heart attack. Every second, my heart muscle is actually dying. Well, and if I can cut that by 2/3, now suddenly I've saved the quality of my life as well as for the hospital, there's a return.
Well, that's huge because, half of the discussion about what happens with Internet of Things as they pertain to medical and all of the medical technologies these days is about what's real in terms of outcome. But you're actually able to prove real outcomes.
Absolutely. And in this case, there was actually a case study that was published about that showed it dropped the national average from right around 90 minutes from the time someone came through the door till they were treated down to roughly 27 minutes. So that's huge in terms of quality of life for the patient, in terms of follow-up treatment, mm-hmm. and in terms of the bottom line of the hospital, as well as their image. If I have a heart attack, that's the place I want to go.
So this is maybe kind of a random question, but it seems to me that we're changing the baseline of how people need to think about business. Period. And that those people, I just happen to have a son who's 23 years old and or 22 years old. And so I think about how business professionals are thinking differently. We need to train a whole generation of business professionals who aren't technology majors to think about technology and including technology in their strategies.
It's amazing today. I meet with so many businesses. One of the businesses that I'm thinking about purifies water, but on a pharmaceutical scale, for contact lenses. Oh. And one of the things that, the people that I work with, they'll have a mechanical degree or engineering degree, mechanical engineering. They'll be a master plumber, master electrician, but just have no idea about transport of data. And so I get these customers that describe, hey, I fly out to Florida. I spend 15 minutes adjusting the machinery through a data logger. And we ask the basic question, why don't you just do that from your computer remotely? And then there's just this surprise almost to the point where they go through the stages of grief, denial, anger.
You can't
finally,
do that.
Finally, acceptance that, wow, this is possible. And, you might go from spending $1,500 on a travel trip to spending, less than the cost of a basic cell phone a month to connect those remote sites.
And so part of our role on the enterprise data team is to show them not only is it possible, it's secure, mm-hmm. it's affordable, and here is the device that would do it. We are the network, and here's the application that you need on the back end to make it all work together.
Here at the Wireless Center, too, we break down that veil of technology, that fear of the technology. It makes it accessible.
Yes, and one of the most powerful questions we hear in business always starts with, what if I could, and we're at a point today where we can fill in that blank very effectively and very reliably. On many cases, we don't have all the answers yet.
Yeah.
We're still evolving, but what if I could fill in the blank? We can answer that most of the time today.
If we look at this as a community of sorts, we can break it down in terms of the value for the community. And we look at intelligent city, intelligent hospital, intelligent industry, and all that could be added to the entire scope of what we can bring to the equation.
Intelligent home.
Intelligent home. Intelligent energy, right? So all that
and
is
pets these days, huh?
Well, when we say intelligent management, we want to be thinking in terms of the value that actually brings back to the community at the large. So if you do have clear data coming back from usage on the energy, individual unit energy systems, or hospital systems, all that being delivered in real time, as Todd said earlier, has a huge impact to the bottom line. And by definition, that makes us a much stronger community that we can now put our money where we can maybe put in different services versus infrastructure. And the improvement of our overall infrastructure is going to be the best way we can be competitive. And when we say competitive, globally competitive, because if we don't get all our basic operating costs under control and we don't throw more money into the infrastructure, we're going to lose control of our basic bottom line. And that becomes an uncompetitive issue. And this makes us very competitive.
Very often we see technology used as a force multiplier. So we go into, for instance, a city. Cities have very fixed budgets. Hiring new people is very difficult. Cities are trying to trim payroll. But if you've got a person who used to be able to sit and watch six cameras, and we make those cameras smarter cameras so that they actually call for help and tell you when to look at them, then that person can be doing a totally different job, and a camera will let them know when to come take a look. So That's the difference between a camera and a smart camera. The camera was out there. It was taking video. If you happen to see something going on, you'd be able to call for help. But if that camera alerts you when there's something worth seeing and gives you the option of backing up 30 seconds because the camera was recording the video and I can use my smartphone to control the forward and reverse and all of that, then that has served as a force multiplier. One person can monitor dozens or even hundreds of cameras now instead of maybe six or eight.
I really want to pull back the curtain a minute. I don't get a chance to sit in a room like this with this many experts who really understand the technology the way we are right now, right? So how do you do it? What's going on back there? How do you make a camera smart? What's the back end? What's happening?
Yeah, that's a great question. It goes back to that DNA. We've got a device that now has whatever hardware components are necessary, the right kind of computer chip, the right kind of storage in it, the right kind of connectivity to whatever network is available. We're able to get that to send information back to either a person or to an application that is smart enough to analyze it and know what to do with it. And then we can apply that knowledge to proactively decide where we put that most important resource, which is the human, and send them out. And anyone who's seen our commercials knows that the network is the foundation of what we do. But there are many, many layers that go on top of the network to actually deliver real value to people in the field and to maximize that human component that is so vital to making a business successful.
And Verizon realized a long time ago that there's many parts to this. We are one puzzle piece of that picture, but we're in a great position to stitch together the whole picture. So we play a project management type of role in helping bring other device people to the table, application people to the table, whatever the solution needs. But that's what is an incredibly enjoyable part of our job, is just being able to put the picture together for a customer.
You know, it used to be we would go out to a customer and we'd ask them, how many employees do you have? Because what we wanted to do is make sure that we sold a phone to every employee. Now we go out to a customer and we say, what do you make? Because we want to put a chip in everything they build and service not just their employees, but every customer. And so the advantage to us is we make money on the network. The advantage to the consumer or the business is they may have sold something turnkey and gotten the money for that product. Now they sell it and they add a value of having a monthly recurring revenue from the service that makes it go. Okay. So it goes, you know, it's an advantage for the business as well as a new revenue stream. It's not just cool. It makes money.
Jerry, tell us a little bit from the Wireless Research Center perspective, what's going on in the back end?
Oh, in the back end, it's a lot of technologies are converging on devices, you know, and as you look at the applications on body, near body, and the challenges for that, and, you know, there's a lot of research and emerging technologies and overcoming barriers to make that connectivity even closer to the person or closer to the device. You know, it's building that pipe outwards, right, and connecting everything and everyone.
Right.
But also I think a big thing that the Wireless Research Center offers is the business incubator, the legal advice, how to protect your proprietary information, right. how to patent your product, how to actually bring it to market. Those are some of the things that are really valuable, because there are technical people out there that can solve those technical hurdles that couldn't sell their way out of a wet paper sack.
And, and vice versa, by the way. There are people who can sell you a bridge, and, you know, that doesn't exist, but, you know, the technology end is very difficult. And that pulling together, that uniting of all of these, you think about every single thing that you talked about, Mark, all of the different chips that are inside, how you choose the right technologies to put on the inside, how you choose the right network to make it happen, which may be different. You might use a beacon for something. You might, you know, there's a lot of different options. How to pull that all together, that's rocket science.
Well, and to your point, each one of those decisions, those choices, comes at a cost to the business. Mm. So a wrong choice, an uninformed choice, could in some cases mean the difference between that business being the next Google and we never hear from them again. So it's very important to get that information as early in the product development lifecycle as possible so that you can plan, look down the road and see how is the technology evolving and what technologies are likely to succeed and possibly fail, so that I can, as a business person who's trying to bring this great new product to market, can make logical, intelligent, educated choices about how I want to build my product to give me the best chance to succeed. And that's where we find many times customers will have this notion. They'll understand some of the concepts that we're talking about. They'll start down the road, and then they'll get halfway down the road, much like many of my home improvement projects, and realize I don't know what I'm doing.
Are you like that too?
I'm over my head.
I should meet my husband. You guys get along great.
So if we can get in there early enough to be advisors and to be technology consultants, we can help answer a lot of questions that to us are basic because we talk about them every day,
sure,
but they may not be part of the customer's core business. So that's where Todd, Mark, and I really enjoy our businesses, when we get to sit down and talk with people and say, did you know this, this, and this? You're trying to do this, but have you considered X, Y, and Z? Early in the product development lifecycle, that's where we really find the most value and we can be of most help.
We see a lot of our customers coming in because they want to have access to real-time data. And a lot of times the service they're selling is to a third-party business. And they want to have, again, gather that data at the real-time moment. But they don't necessarily have either the ability to sit on the network that is in the customer site or necessarily the desire to sit on that network. Because once they give away control of the network, they then give control away of the real-time data. And I think that's what's also driving a lot of devices, wireless devices directly to the point of contact. So you have complete control, and this, again, becomes a 24/7 on network that the service provider to that third-party company has now said, I can always be aware of what's going on with that data and that device and that environment.
Well, think about how many folks Target is having to pay for credit monitoring services for. And if you know how that breach occurred, had the company that provided the service chosen to use a direct cellular connection instead of negotiated a connection into the corporate network for Target, that breach would have never happened. So that was an example where Target, had they been a bit forward-looking, could have saved millions of dollars in hindsight. And after that, of course, that's what we call job security, because now customers are looking to Verizon to be able to never be in that position again.
In fact, that's a significant market driver, what happened with Target. And that's actually what I was referring to, is that because that occurred and Target gave up their security of their network, that a lot of people were saying, you can't get on my network, and not in a, but we want you to have your own data access and not put us at risk. And by definition, the service that you are providing is also more secure and more productive.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And if you think about it beyond the security as well, let's say I produce ATM machines and I'm located in a mall, but I'm off in a low traffic area. If I've got a traditional type connection, my options to move that somewhere else are very limited. Right. Where if that's wirelessly enabled, it's in its own standalone type environment, I can move that. All I need is a power outlet now to move it anywhere I want, and that can change the dynamics, the revenue I generate off of that product. And we're seeing a lot of companies really start to think about that. I have a solution that needs to be, it's transitional. It needs to move based on seasonal effects or based on foot traffic, and the wireless component gives you the ability to now, even within the four walls, move that asset around in a place that I can maximize it for my business.
And sometimes the solutions aren't as complicated as beginning with a product and putting a chip in it. Sometimes the solution is as simple as taking, what we call a modem and putting it in to back up a traditional landline connection. So think about a McDonald's whose landline connection goes down from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock. They might as well not have opened that day because they're not going to be able to process credit cards. They're going to be having long lines. They're going to have frustrated customers. They're going to be giving away food. They're not going to be efficient. So a simple backup solution to an existing landline connection is a great slam dunk solution to keep that business profitable and keep them up and running and keep their customers happy. So it's not always as complicated as it seems.
It's funny because I think businesses don't think like that, but as consumers we do. We're very used to having access to data when we're connected to Wi-Fi and when we're on our cellular devices. So it's just like a transition for businesses to start thinking like the consumers are used to thinking now.
Absolutely.
I feel like we could have this discussion for probably the next month. But instead of doing that, I think what we should probably do is reconvene a couple more times and maybe break down this DNA thing into a couple more shows on devices, networks, and sort of the software end of it, if we will. So you guys up for that?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Okay, cool. Great. I want to thank, for today's show, I really want to thank the digital plumbers that came in from the Enterprise Data team here. Mark Boggs, Mark Sherline, and Todd Young. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
And we really appreciate the Wireless Research Center putting the show together and helping bring these thought leaders to the table with us. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, this is great. It's always exciting and fun to hear new opportunities, too.
Yeah, great. So until we do this again in just a couple of weeks, this is Anne Ravel-Petcher signing off for Wireless Connections.